Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Appreciate it, boys. Want to go ahead and say welcome to False Start. I am Eric Henry, Horns beat writer, Texas beat writer. Why aren't Horns beat right? Same thing. Horns, Texas beat writer, Horns 24/7. Joined as always by my player partner himself, Mr. Keenan Womack, Mr. Five Lunch Breaks. Looks like he just woke up from a hell of a nap.
I was awake. I was freaked out because my internet was not working, so I had to fix that in a panic, but okay, we're good now.
Got you. Yes. First off, before I jump into some things, I want to say thank you to all the people who filled in. Jeff Howe filled in on Wednesday when I was down at the TD Club of Houston. Steve Sarkisian addressing big money people. Mattress Mac was in the house. I certainly was not in the same tax bracket as a lot of those folks down there on Wednesday. Thank you to my buddy. Y'all got a chance to meet him. Joe Londergan filled in Thursday. And then who filled in Friday?
Jason Conander.
Jason Conander. Great kid.
Great guy. We had a lot of fun talking. We were trying to mix it up, but me and him have a very common interest in college basketball. So it basically turned into a college basketball show.
Listen, nothing wrong with that. So I appreciate Evan for filling in. In case you didn't know, and I'm back in the Sunshine State for a little bit. So I was making that drive. I will not bore you guys with the stories of going through I-10 through Houston to Tallahassee overnight. I will not make that drive again overnight. That was a mistake. It is pitch black on I-10 trying to make that drive overnight. But yes, joining y'all from the Sunshine State. What up, CB? Jake Bayless talking about some big old women down in San Antonio. Daryl G saying Barkley going off on San Antonio women, still the best. Here's the thing, man. Like, Keenan, I'm assuming you've been to San Antonio, right?
My wife is from there, so she's not a big fan of all of the the conversations regarding women in the city of San Antonio. I'm kidding. She's a great sport about it. She doesn't care. But, I've been there plenty of times.
I was going to say, like, I feel like I have to go just for San Antonio. Seems like one of those cool cities. Like, I'm a big El Paso guy, Keenan. I've been to El Paso four times to cover games in the past. I feel like it's one of those cities, you know, the culture's there, the vibe is there. But I mean, it's just between that and Galveston, I feel like I got to hit up some of these Texas cities to see what the conversation is really about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. San Antonio is underrated. It's very cool. It's very integrated with the Mexican culture. So it's like, like a Mexican city. It really is cool. And I don't know if you've ever been to Mexico or Mexico City, Mexico City is one of my favorite places in the world. Maybe my favorite. That's how much I like Mexico City. And you get some of those vibes. I mean, obviously San Antonio is the mix of the Texas and the Mexican culture. So it's like where America sort of meets Mexico in a cultural sense. But it's a very underrated place. And that is like the best food you're going to find. Mexican food it's in San Antonio. I can't front. I can't flex and say it's Dallas. I can't even front and say it's Austin. I think San Antonio has the best Mexican food of any big city. Maybe Houston is tied with it too. But damn, San Antonio's got some awesome Mexican food.
Yo, if anyone in the comments in the chat wants to drop their thoughts on where the best Mexican food in Texas is, feel free, because I'm going to try to make my way. I'm an El Paso guy. Again, I've been El Paso many times. Love the Mexican food there. Hey, man, before we jump into some sports, how was your weekend, man? How's your Cinco de Mayo? I mean, obviously, I know Cinco de Mayo has got to be a bigger thing in Texas, like than here, obviously, you know, the Mexican population. It's just a bunch of, you know, mock Cinco de Mayo celebrations here in Florida. How's your weekend, buddy?
It was good. I went to a wedding on Saturday. That was a lot of fun. It was my wife's cousin, and it was at Austin Country Club. It was really fun, man. It was a really good time. And then Cinco de Mayo, your boy was in the office.
Okay.
I was working my other job. Yeah. So I was at the office yesterday, but I'm off today, thankfully. Because I typically get off like 2 days in a row. This week I did not, because I had to do the wedding thing, but Yeah, man. I think we should talk a little bit about Meet the Grams at some point today.
Oh, listen. We got 40 minutes left. We're going to kind of be all over the place. We're definitely going to get into that. Let's start off, though, because, you know, it's been a few days since I've been on. So get to kind of recap some of the things, really, since I've been gone, and just kind of bounce it off and get some thoughts. Start with Dominic Williams ending up at Oklahoma. Did you happen to see the video that he tweeted out? Maybe I can't remember if it was him or a family member about his recruitment at LSU, and he just looked less than enthused. Oh man, I'm just gonna find this and send it to you. LSU, they did the deal, you know, where they're like in the restaurant and the sparklers are going off and whatnot, but the crowd is just not the type of crowd that you would have expect in any club where the sparklers and whatnot are going off. And he looked less than enthused. So I've got to try and find that as
awkward, dude.
For anyone in the chat as well, if you saw it, you know, drop some comments if you did. But that clearly, you know, kind of screwed their recruitment of Mr. Dominic Williams. Nevertheless, just your thoughts, you know, him choosing Oklahoma over Texas, and I'll kind of spitball a bit here because I mean I think there has been a little bit of overreaction, but I'll get to that in a second. So just, you know, what were kind of your thoughts as you saw that go down?
I thought that Oklahoma badly needed that.
Sure.
I felt like Oklahoma, even though they beat Texas last year, I get this overwhelming sense from their fan base that they are not super confident going into the SEC. I'm not saying all of them think that or even that it's true. I mean, OU could come in and be great. I don't know, obviously, but I think they badly needed some sort of W in the transfer portal, and they just shelled out everything they had. And I'm genuinely curious, and not in a shitty, like, condescending way, if their money situation at Oklahoma and paying Dominic Williams that much money has anything to do with all of the dudes transferring from the basketball program. I don't know. I'm not saying there is a correlation. There may not be. But it just seems like they're putting all their eggs into this basket of football and hoping everything else just kind of works out. But Dominic Williams is a great player. I don't know what they ended up paying him. I'd be shocked if it was what people are saying. People are saying it was like $1.5 million. And it's just like, there's no way, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is what it was. You'll have to fill me in on that. But yeah, they needed that really bad. I don't think it puts them over the top. I don't think it makes them as good or better than Texas. I don't think it saves them, but I think it's a good pickup for a pretty good defensive tackle.
I just sent you the video of Dominic Williams at LSU, so check that out while I'm reading Jake's comments here. You wouldn't know that from their Twitter fans. They think they're going to win every game ever. I will say this, and again, I'm on quote-unquote the Texas side of things covering the team, but I have, and I'm going to let you back in a second to make this point, Kenny, as I see you've seen the video. I have seen the Oklahoma fan base, and I don't know if it's just like the rivalry talk, but there always seems to be like, I don't want to call Oklahoma fans arrogant, right? Because again, maybe they feel the same about, or not maybe, I'm sure they feel the same way about UT fans, right? But there does seem to be like a level of, I don't know, I think Oklahoma kind of looks at Texas like almost like a little brother type deal. And that to me is kind of what surprised me, because I'm like, no, these are two programs that, while, you know, you can make the case, each of them, both of them have been good at the same point in time. And there have been stretches where maybe one was getting the better part of the other, but this is not a situation where I feel like, and please, you know, if you're all in the chat, feel free to educate me, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't ever think there's been a time where one fan base can truly claim like superiority over another in a way, like just using the Florida example, you know, like Florida State could claim superiority over Miami for a long time or over Florida for a long time. So that's just kind of my thought there. But I saw you saw the video. You saw how Baton Rouge was coming. Can you explain that to the people watching? Because unfortunately,
it's not a man. It looked like a girl. It looked like a really rich girl's 21st birthday. That's what it looked like to me. And Dominic Williams is just sitting there like this. It's like texting. I don't know, man. I mean, their guy is the former Texas defensive tackles coach, man. Oh, sorry. You know what I mean? I mean, they have what's his name? I forgot his name. Oh my god. LSU's defensive tackle.
Oh, Bo Davis.
Bo Davis. Thank you. Yeah, the guy who did the rant. I love that guy. But I was really sad when he left. But yeah, man, that's a bad look. It's really embarrassing. But, I mean, LSU's still going to be LSU. I just think LSU's one of those schools that, like, no matter who the coach is, that pool of talent in that state is so crazy. And they have such a dominion over the whole state as far as that goes that, like, kind of makes sense that they've been so good for so long.
Jake Bales popping in here, and I do agree. Saying Brian,
yeah, Kelly, he is cringy for sure. Cringy
like that, like yes. If you haven't seen that video, I just punch in Dominic Williams LSU on Twitter. It'll pop right up. He actually tweeted out himself, so let me credit him. He's like, "This is how LSU was coming?" Question mark, and he was less than enthused.
That's on the so flip embarrassing.
On the flip side, Keenan, the Horns get an addition from the portal. San Jose State defensive back Javion Cole, so a player that I have a little bit of familiarity with covering the G5. Actually started his career at Cal Poly. I love Keenan high risers like that. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the basketball portal in the sense where you get a guy who starts out at like a mid-major or low major and then, you know, it's kind of it excels and works his way up, right? Someone who I think and the thing about him that I think this should be a good fit. It's not like they're going to come and expect him to be number one corner immediately. You got Manny Muhammad. You got Terrence Brooks. They're not going to ask him, even Jalen Gilbo and Jahdae Barron. They're not going to ask him to come in here and be a lockdown corner. But he's someone who, again, young kid, was only a sophomore last year, true sophomore. So, you know, has room for growth in his game. And I do think, and I hate to say like the make or break thing. I know a lot of Texas fans have had their feelings on Terry Joseph and kind of his ability. I know the guys were talking about the development of some of those guys in the secondary, and we'll see. I mean, like Jeff was saying, some of those guys maybe you shouldn't have taken. Maybe some of them weren't necessarily not to, you know, crap on anybody, right? But weren't necessarily the DBs of this level, right? So they were what they were. But man, I think this is a really good addition. And listen, I know you're not gonna have a ton of thoughts on Cole per se, but I do want to pass it to you on this. Steve Sarkisian was very defensive. Well, you know what? Let me rephrase that. I don't want to say he was defensive. The question he was asked, and I won't say the Texas media member.
It was probably guess, but don't say their name.
What was that?
I could probably guess who it is.
But yeah. There was a member of the Longhorns media who asked Steve Sarkisian. The way the question was phrased was, hey, well, you know, how do you feel about your DBs? You know, they didn't look that good in the spring. And Sark immediately stopped him and said, didn't look that good according to who? And then that that media member paused and said, well, you know, some of your DBs got beat in the spring game. And Sark immediately, you know, cut him off and said, hey, you know, Kelvin Banks, and I tweeted this out, Kelvin Banks got beat. I think he's going to be just fine. The secondary is going to be just fine. So your thoughts on just Steve Sarkisian kind of being fine and feeling confident in his secondary?
Well, real quick, I want to talk about Kelvin Banks for a second.
No, go for it.
And like how he dropped, because I remember the week that happened.
Yeah.
He had a really – the problem was he was a left tackle, and they put him at right tackle for a rivals camp.
Okay.
He got beat a bunch of times because he's playing a new position. And so everybody dropped his ranking because he got beat at this camp because he was playing out of position. So that's what's up with Kelvin Banks. That's the only reason he's ever gotten beat in anything. He's like the best offensive tackle I've ever seen at Texas. I'm not kidding. I think he might be the best that they've ever had, or at least best in the last 20 years. You know, obviously there are guys from the 90s and 80s I don't know about, but this is the most name recognition I've ever seen out of a left tackle ever at UT. Everybody knows who Kelvin Banks is. He's one of their stars. He's going to be a top five pick. You know, but back to what you really, said about
real quick. I gotta. I'm gonna let you go. No, I'll let you finish. I remember Mike Williams, and this is a throwback Texas name. Fourth overall pick. I remember went to Buffalo. That's just the first one. So actually, that'd probably be a great discussion. We'll come back. We'll come back to that for our old school Texas fans. Where does Kelvin Banks rank in relation to a guy like Mike Williams? But continue your comment.
No. Yeah, I think it's big time that they picked up a corner transfer. I mean, obviously losing Terrence Brooks was not part of the plan, I don't think. I think that kind of surprised them. I know he had kind of a rough spring game, but like, you know, again, like I just said, Kelvin Banks had a rough rivals camp and he ended up being pretty damn good. I get why Sark would be defensive though. And to be honest, I kind of like that he's standing up for his guys so much. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I remember when the Oklahoma State thing went down with the I'm a man, I'm 40.
Yeah.
They interviewed all these different players, and all the players were like, that we respected that so much that he stood up for our guy, that he like took it upon himself to stand up for our guy personally. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, I just every single thing I hear about Sark makes me trust him more as the head coach. And the fact that he's so quick to defend his guys, I like that.
Listen, I agree with you. And even, you know, that kind of runs counter my role in the media. But I do like the fact that Sark defends his guys, right? We talk about this with Rodney Terry, right? You know, bring the basketball realm. There's a reason why Rodney Terry's players swear by him and they all love him, is he will go to the mat for his guys. So I understand that. And to be, you know, quite frank, listen, if you look at Texas's defense last year, a lot of those passing yards were allowed because teams just abandoned the run. You look at that Iowa State game, Rocco Becht threw for 313 yards, something like that, a couple touchdowns. And listen, there was a drive where Rocco Becht took him right down the field and scored. It's like, oh, okay, you kind of want to see the defense tighten up. But yeah, that happens when you have Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. You're just abandoning the run overall. So in that sense, as I'm getting blown up here by my buddy Kevin Fielder, who is saying that I'm bringing up Texas players from two decades ago. Well, Kevin, not all of us are 17 like you are, right? Some of us have a bit of a frame of reference for football. So, you know, enjoy
it. He's a good follow on Twitter, that guy. We follow.
Oh, listen, I've known Kevin since he was 16, 17. Great kid.
Hey.
Covers Kansas State. Nevertheless.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, I expect Sark to defend his guys. And I think the secondary is going to be fine. I've talked about it. Jahdae Barron, Jalen Gilbo is coming back. You know, the guys were talking about it before we hopped on. This pass rush, I think, is going to be legit this year. And a great pass rush obviously can make any secondary look better. So not too worried there. And I think Cole, again, is just a pickup where this group and high ceiling, I think you got to buy low on them and really kind of see where things go. But I'm not troubled. And like I said, the way the question was asked to Sark, he had no other way but to be defensive of his secondary. And again, you guys can probably guess which media member asked him that at the TD Club of Houston. And we'll transition here, Keenan. I also got a few more things we're going to get to, but just the Sark's overall address to that audience. Again, Mattress Mac, big time, you know, you got all those big time money guys there. The thing that stood out to me, Keenan, I'm just wondering kind of your thoughts. There's a quiet confidence about this team entering the SEC. And I'm wondering, did they show you enough last year from the way they handled their business in the Big 12 for you to think top two, top three in the SEC off rip?
Man, it sounds like I'm a homer, but I really do think that. I really think they're going to come in off the bat and be one of the best three teams in the SEC. Maybe not every year, but this upcoming year and maybe the next couple of years. I mean, as long as Sark is recruiting like this, this roster's starting to look like a Georgia roster. You know what I mean? It looks like an Alabama roster, exactly. And that's not just saying the player types. It's looks like an Alabama roster because of the amount of four and five stars that are running around out there. And you look at every position group has a five star somewhere in it. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Like, their edges, they have a five star. Linebackers, they have a five star. I don't know if they have a five star per se at corner or safety, but they have a five star transfer in Makuba. And then on offense, they have five stars everywhere, you know? So they're building these teams with all this depth. And the reason I think OU fans are starting to freak out is that they're so loud on social media, much louder than I'm used to there being. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, their fan base is whatever. Like, it's not – I don't think it's any worse than any other fan base in particular, to be honest. But man, they're on the offensive. And I think, like I've been saying, I just don't think Venables is the guy. I think they're going to probably go like 8-5 this year. And what they need to do, they can't afford to do. And what they need to do is hire Josh Heupel.
Oh, wow. Okay. Former Central Florida.
Well, Heupel played quarterback at Oklahoma.
No, yeah. He played quarterback for the Sooners. I will admit, I am not the biggest Josh Heupel fan, but that has more to do with him coaching my UCF Knights than anything else. You know, but listen, he's done a nice job at Tennessee, he and Danny White, so I've got to give him that. Just going back to your point when you talked about the stockpiling of talent, I wrote about this for Horns 24/7. You can find it on the website. This team looked SEC ready last year, and it wasn't even because of the amount of guys, you know, 11 guys getting drafted. It was CJ Baxter, a freshman, now sophomore. Jaden Blue. It was Anthony Hill making plays. It was Derek Williams, right, at safety, a young freshman. It was Manny Muhammad, a freshman coming in, right? Jonte Cook showing flashes that he can be a guy, right? It's that type of young talent in my mind that speaks to me that this team is SEC ready, right? Because those guys were they got their feet wet and tested in the Big 12. But now, to your point, when you talk about the five stars, you get a Xavier Filson back at safety, who is a five star, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You get a Colin Simmons off the edge, who is a five star. So, to the question that I asked you, I don't think I can't find another team. And I'm just being honest. We'll see what happens with Alabama. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, right? Maybe Kalen DeBoer has something cooking there that year one will hit the ground running, because we know what the standard is there, right? And hey, you know,
I wouldn't want to be him.
Take a look at Alabama's history pre-Nick Saban. They're not patient. if they don't think that you're getting the job done, they'll cycle through some coaches. So Kalen DeBoer, maybe he can hit the ground running year one. But in my opinion, Georgia's the only team that I think is neck and neck, just talent-wise, with Texas. And, hey, I don't see any reason, you take a look at this schedule, why Texas can't compete year one. So that's my thought there. Keenan, I do want to ask you, because we haven't had a chance to chat with him again. We're going to get into a couple things. We're definitely going to get into some Meet the Grams. We're going to get some Drake Kendrick. And I also want to parlay into your favorite college football or college sports beef, right? Because I got a few that came to mind there.
That's a great question. I love that.
But, man, what were your thoughts on the Deion Sanders situation? I have not heard your thoughts. I think I may have seen you tweet about it once or twice, but I'd just love to get, you know, your perspective on that. And I don't think anyone here needs a refresher as to what it was, but I mean, I guess really quick, if you didn't see it, you know, there were some quote tweets from, you know, a former player who was talking about, the genesis of it was the Athletics article Max Olson wrote, where he profiled all 50 something guys who left and where they were now. And them talking about, you know, kind of not feeling like Deion ever tried to get to know them. And you know, some of the current players, Shadur and others, quote tweeting some responses from the former players. And it got kind of ugly. So just, you know, your thoughts, Keenan.
I just, like, man, I don't think I've ever soured on somebody so quickly. I wanted them to work. I loved Deion before this, like, past few months. I love Deion. I was really excited for him at Colorado. Plus, my little brother is a University of Colorado graduate. So it was in the family. And so we were really excited. We were like, my brother, you know, Colorado football has been so bad for so long that my brother was pretty much like, dude, I'll take any kind of injection of energy into this program, like whatever. Like he's pretty apathetic about it in general because he knows they'll never compete for real. But you know, once he got Deion, he would text me and be like, yo, we're actually starting to put together a roster, man. Like, this team looks okay. And then they started off, I think they went started off the season 3-1 last year, and they lost their next, like, 8 or whatever. But I think Deion looked like a complete a-hole, and I think he looked like a freaking jackass, like, quote tweeting a kid. And all how old is he, man? He's in his 50s, and he's quote tweeting kids. Like, that shit is so whack. And, like, I just think no wonder all these guys are transferring to it. It seems like the biggest clown show ever over there. And I would be shocked if they won more than, like, 3 or 4 games this year. I'd be shocked. It just seems like a complete disaster waiting to happen. And And I put together the last thing, and I'll throw back to you is,
yeah,
I put on Twitter, I predicted their record game by game.
Yeah,
there's a few games that I think they're going to lose by like 40 points, and one of those games is Tech. I think Tech is going to put them in a body bag because they're just physical. They're West Texas, like tough dudes. You know, they're just that is the opposite of what they got going on at Colorado right now. I think Kansas State is going to destroy them. You know, I think teams like that are going to take notice of this stuff that's going on out there, and they're going to see it and go, oh, okay, that's what they think. That's how they think about West Texas or like young kids. They're just going to fire themselves up and they will destroy Colorado. I don't know. They seem like polar opposites to me, you know?
No, I see where you're going. It's kind of similar to the Iowa State deal, right? Breeze Hall, the five-star culture versus five-star talent. Not necessarily saying that Colorado has five-star talent right now because they're still trying to accumulate talent, right? But you could absolutely make the case that you go to like a Lance Leipold, you know, at Kansas, right? Like, you know, the way he's building his team, Kansas State, hell, Iowa State, right? Matt Campbell, right? They're not going to want to. Those are teams that have a pride and identity about themselves. But my thoughts on the situation, and listen, I don't understand. I'm just going to be real. Like, I'm turning 33 in a month. So, like, I remember Deion Sanders and kind of what the tail end of his career and what he kind of represents for some people. But he doesn't resonate with me in the way that he does, like, some of my older family, right? And I think there's an emotional response to whenever people kind of take issue with Deion. And one of the things that when I tweeted out what I tweeted out, I said he's supposed to be bigger than this. He's a grown-ass man. You're talking about college kids whose brains aren't fully freaking formed yet.
Yeah.
And they're especially kids of this generation, no disrespect, but like, yeah, the first thing they do is they pick up their phone and they tweet what's on their mind, right? Like if they're hurt, that's what they do. So for you to be like, La Jesus, when you know someone's quote tweeting on the dude's stats, first off, that's just stupid because we know stats don't make up everything, right? But secondly, wasn't this someone who you know, played for you, right? Like, I don't get this. Now, granted, this kid transferred out, right? So he didn't play. He was, you know, there, went to Austin Peay, the kid who he quote tweeted. But you're supposed to be the man in the room. You're supposed to be the adult in the room. And Keenan, I am not anti-Deion. What he did with the portal, I am here. I don't think we got a pretty educated college football fan base. And I think people who watch Texas Sports Unfiltered, they understand that happens. When new coaches come in, they want to bring in their own guys. When teams win, right? Hell, we just saw, and we don't know the full gist of what happened, but it was a mutual decision with Steve Sarkisian and Terrence Brooks, where, hey, you started for us last year, appreciate it, like, but we're going to go a different direction, and Terrence Brooks will land on his feet. You know, that stuff happens. But, and I don't know if you've read the article. If you haven't read it, I recommend checking out on The Athletic. But my beef is we hear Sark say this. And no matter whether you think it's coach speak or not, cliche or not, at least you have to publicly adopt this front. Steve Sarkisian always talks about, I got 110 kids, right? They're all my sons. And this is someone who has his son on the team. And like I said, whether you think it's bullshit or not, I mean, it's some of coach speak probably, but you at least have to give the appearance that you care about all your guys the same. Tashard Choice, Keenan. What I love about Tashard Choice is he coaches Colin Page the same way he coaches Trey Wiseman or CJ Baxter and Jaden Blue. Like, I've seen it with my own two eyes. He's going to Colin Page saying, no, do the drill. I don't care if you're walking or not. Do the drill. I'm holding to the same standards as everyone else.
That's awesome.
And the article kind of talked about how seemingly some of these guys who transferred out, some who stayed and tried to, you know, prove themselves to Deion, felt like he never tried to get to know them. And I just wonder, you know, how if you're a back end of the roster guy, is there a feeling like, yo, this dude only cares about his son, Travis Hunter, Harris Hunter, and a couple of the guys. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not accusing Deion of that, but check it out. Read the article, because a lot of the conversation is that, like, this dude just is, and let's just be real. It would be on par with who Deion Sanders has been the majority of his career, as someone who tells you there is only one me, right? There is only one primetime Deion Sanders. There's only one Shador. There's only one Travis Hunter. And if you do not have that value, then what value does he offer? Again, I'm not inside that locker room, so I don't want to accuse him of that, but it'll be really interesting to see how this season plays out, because it's coming off like, I just want to get these dudes to the NFL and the rest of the chips will fall where they're making it.
Well, it's also like, the kid's point was, hey, Deion was kind of an ass to me. And in response, Deion's like, oh, you thought I was an ass then? You just wait, buddy. And he was a way bigger ass. So I didn't really understand what he was trying to do with that. I mean, I get it. He's panicking. He keeps losing players. But, yeah, they seem like, you know, what did Dan Lanning say? They play for clicks. We play for wins.
Right.
I think that will resonate with, like, every Big 12 team, because they're coming in so cocky. It's crazy. And you know, the Big 12, for all its flaws, is, you know, top to bottom a much more competitive conference, I think, than the Pac-12 was.
Absolutely. So
maybe not at the top as much, because, you know, Washington and Oregon have had great teams in the last couple of years. But, I mean, overall, man, like, those are both Big Ten teams now, and the Pac-12 doesn't exist, so who cares?
SD says the Big 12 rats need a new villain. And listen, yeah, hey,
I mean, Colorado's a great one, but they're all going to beat Colorado is the problem.
Yeah, because I saw some of that conversation as well on Twitter about they could be the new villain, but you got to win, right? And I think that could be a challenge. Before we get to the music talk, and of course, we're gonna kind of parlay that into your favorite college football beefs, do want to give you a chance to talk about your Mavs NBA playoffs.
Thank you.
Orlando Magic did not win game 7. Paolo Banchero showed up. The rest of the team did not. They've got deaf issues, but your Mavs showed up. Take it away.
Well, real quick about your Magic. Do you see any LeBron James with Paolo? I do. I see quite a bit of LeBron. I don't see the passing, but just the physicality, the size, the way he plays reminds me so much of LeBron James, dude. Like young LeBron. Before he could shoot and stuff. Like young LeBron when he was just a slasher, kind of.
But you know what's tough about that is, and I won't belabor this point too long.
No.
The thing I remember about young LeBron so much is the athleticism was just off the charts. Like LeBron, I guess, you know, Kobe, T-Mac to an extent.
Yeah.
But LeBron was the first guy who just athletically made it look so easy. I don't think Paolo Banchero's athleticism. I mean, he's slashy. He's very crafty. I don't think he's athletically that guy. But I see where you're going.
Sure. No. Definitely. I'm not saying that he is as good as LeBron will end up as good as LeBron, or is even as athletic or explosive. I just see so much of LeBron's game and the way he plays, young LeBron's game and the way Paolo plays. Plus, they're like the exact same size. Anyway, my Mavericks. Yeah, man, it was beautiful to see them just take care of business against a team I truly hate. I really hate the Clippers. And it's not just like I hate the Clippers. I hate their individual players separate from their being on the Clippers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I hate James Harden, bro.
Same.
I can't stand him, dude. I can't stand Paul George. I can't stand Kawhi. Like, I don't like anybody on that team. So it was really cathartic after they just kept knocking my Mavs out of the playoffs over and over again to finally get that win. That shit was awesome. I'm super excited about the series against the Thunder. I think that's going to be a hell of a series. I'm like really, truly excited, not just as a Mavericks fan, but as a fan of the sport of basketball, because I think that series is going to be awesome.
Bro, I am fired up about the NBA playoffs in a way that I haven't been in a while. And I can't lie. And I don't know if anyone else feels this way in the chat. New blood, man. The Ant-Man is coming.
Yeah.
Like, just this new blood. It's not a Golden State, Steph, LeBron, the usual KD, not the usual suspects. That's what has me fired up about this NBA playoffs. So Yeah, man. I can't let me know. I am not going to adopt any fandom of any Texas basketball teams. I don't have any reason to. But I do want to see Luka and kind of see how that. I'm not the biggest Kyrie fan.
As yeah, fair. I love Kyrie, but I get it.
As Kyrie is a basketball player. I want to make this clear. Kyrie's a basketball player. Immense talent. I just think as a person, he's just a fucking head case, but never the
yeah, he is. But he's been really not a distraction in Dallas.
Yes.
He's been really on his best behavior in Dallas. There hasn't been a single issue. And let me tell you really quick why I think that is.
Yeah.
I think he and Luka have immense respect for each other. That's what I've heard. That's what's driving those two guys is their respect for each other.
Because of their games, Keenan? Is that what?
Yes.
Yeah,
just because of their games. Just because I think Kyrie sees Luka and he's like, this is a young LeBron kind of deal. Like how he helped LeBron win his first championship. I mean, his first in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I think it's a mutual respect thing. And I think Kyrie and Luka are like really tight, not just on the floor, but I think like you'll see them talking off the floor. Like they're just giving each other pointers all the time. They just love hooping, dude. Both of those guys do. And I think that goes real deep with hoopers. You know what I mean?
No doubt. I want to post this comment here from SD because it is the will be our final topic. His favorite college football beef is his with the 01 horns. If you want to drop any further context as to why, I can kind of feel where you're going, but if you want to drop any further context, feel free. Before we get into Meet the Grams, do you have a Twitter beef? Jeez, I'm sure we all got Twitter beefs.
College football beef? I do.
College sports beef. I know mine. I have never hated a team more than I hated the Tim Tebow era Florida Gators. I hated those teams. And that just one that like, because I think what's driving this beef with Drake and Kendrick, and we'll get to it, but like the fact that there's only one person who hates that other person. Yes. Like I hated those teams. I can't think of anything recently because I mean, I guess I've been working in sports for 8-9 years now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of subsided. But, and I mean, I hate Duke, you know, as a whole Duke basketball, but not like I hated the Florida Gators of that era. So what about you, Keenan?
My favorite beef, I was trying to think more individual. So mine would be Sam Ehlinger versus Kyler Murray.
Okay.
So I don't know if you saw that clip after Texas beat OU in 2018 in the Red River shootout, and Ehlinger walks up to Kyler Murray and tries to shake his hand, and Kyler blows him off, and Ehlinger yells in his ear, "Take the loss, P-word."
I have never seen that.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's a classic moment in Texas football history. I mean, Kyler Murray ended up getting the better of the deal. He ended up winning the Big 12 championship, sure. But I always thought that was such a funny moment when he was like, "Take the loss, P." I was like, damn. That was a really – I mean, it's one of those things. Now I feel like Texas is going to start beating OU a lot more regularly than they have during the Herman and Strong eras, and that's going to be really nice because, like, losing to them sucks if you're a Texas fan. Like, that shit sucks. Like, when I was a fan and not in the media, man, I'd go to those games and they'd lose. It would suck so much. Like, oh, man, terrible.
So, man, I just want to give you just kind of my thought on the whole Drake-Kendrick situation.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into the actual substance of, like, who's diss and whatnot. I'm just going to give you my take. 2012, 2013 is probably the last time I've really enjoyed Drake's music. And I can't even say that I ever truly – there's some Drake's, you know, songs and albums that I rock with, you know, and I appreciated, if we're just being real, as like a hip hop guy's music guy, I appreciated Drake kind of ending the end of like the Thuggin' era, right? As someone who went to high school from 2006 to 2010, right? Like we all had the baggy tees, we all had the baggy shorts, and it's about how hard you could be, right? And Drake, Kanye to an extent.
But
Drake was one who really kind of put an end to the like crunk, Thuggin, T.I. And I'm listening, T.I., Jeezy, those two of my favorite rappers right there. But like put an end to that and ushered in this new wave of dudes. But with that being said, there's nothing about him that's ever struck me as authentic. Drake is like the, in my mind, he's like the, we could say the Brian Kelly, like the, I'm just trying to think of who's a football coach. I think is always, you know, you've never trusted.
Brian Kelly's a really good,
you know, really that comes out of their mouth, right? Like, and that's my issue with Drake. And that's why I think every Kendrick diss has resonated with me, because he's finally saying the things that I feel like I've thought about this dude for so long. Like, the dude, what, like, yo, if you're, I'm not hating on anybody for getting plastic surgery, but like, what man buys abs? Like, that's the lamest shit in the world.
Weird.
So anyhow, I want to leave you some room. We got 5 minutes left. I want to leave you some room. Take it away, my guy.
Okay, well, I'm glad we're talking about this, because I know we are both huge hip-hop heads, which makes me very confident in where the show will end up going. So here's my hot take, and people have gotten mad at me for this, whatever. This beef just further proved to me that Kendrick Lamar is the GOAT. I think he's the best rapper of all time. I really do. I think it's him and Andre 3000. I think those are two of the best ever. I think Jay-Z's in there. I think Big L would be in there if he hadn't died. I think Biggie would be in there. I think Kendrick Lamar's albums, I think he's 5 for 5 on albums.
Okay. What about this cemented that fact for you?
Just the whole Meet the Grams diss and just how he dissected Drake in like the most clever way for 7 straight minutes. And it was just like an incredibly scorched earth and personal, just a very hateful song. And I can tell you this, I didn't even really enjoy listening to that song. I've listened to it a few times, but it's so scathing that it's hard to listen to. And I think that's part of it. I mean, he's referencing all these like SA guy, like not SA, like sexual assault guys. Like, it's crazy, dude. I was just blown away by it. And I think he blew Drake out so hard. I don't think Drake can come back from that in a beef sense. Now, his music's going to continue to sell because he's Drake, which is all that really matters. But like, as far as this beef goes, because he got bested by Pusha T too, I think. I think Pusha T won beef, like as far as like song for song. And so I think Kendrick, I think, Drake did beat Meek Mill, definitely, back-to-back, like, crushed Meek Mill. But I think he's lost his last two bouts.
This is what I'll say about your – and I'm not hating on your list of favorite rappers.
It's not favorite. It's top. Those aren't
top,
my favorite,
top,
though.
Sorry, top, top.
Yeah.
My thing is this, right? Like, and I can merge it between music and football. You can be the people's champ all you want, right? You can be the dude who's the dopest lyricist and whatnot. At a certain point, like, you guys also got to make hits. And that's where, in my, like, Andre 3000 has done that as part of Outkast. And
on the go. Him and Kendrick.
You gotta at least be able to have the ability to make hits. Like, I'm just going to keep it real with you. I'm not going to be at a house party and, you know, back when I was in college or, you know, somewhere that, you know, the opposite sex would be and put on some Kendrick and be like, yo, you know, this is no, you're going to be chasing the opposite sex out the building with the Kendrick.
Scaring the HOES.
Yeah. Like you need a little diversity. So that's why I'm a Jay-Z guy, first and foremost. Right. It's like, you got to be able to be the USC Reggie Bush era flash while also having the substance. So that's kind of where I go with that. But yeah, man, I mean, I think Kendrick definitely won the battle.
But I think Kendrick does make hits. I think Kendrick's made plenty of hits that you'd play at a party. I mean, think about what was on Damn. There are like 3 songs on Damn I heard at every bar I went to for like a year. And then on Good Kid, Mad City, there's like 3 or 4 songs on that. I mean, the song with Drake on it, ironically enough, you have Swimming Pools is it's a banger beat and everything, and it's an anti-drinking song. And the stupid fraternity at UT, I remember right around when that song was big. They made a video for one of their parties and used that song. I'm like, do you guys not realize like what you're doing by putting this? It's just, you're just calling yourself alcoholics, like in like a really negative way. It's just really weird. But yeah, I thought it was good for hip hop, honestly.
Oh no, listen, I think it's great for hip hop. And like I said, I'm Drake is the Brian Kelly of
that's rap, a great,
you know? Like I wish I could think of another coach that just strikes me as someone who's just inauthentic. You know, and watch, I'm going to say this and mess around, and then Texas is going to face LSU, and then Brian Kelly's going to hear us and have to face him. But hey, I'll live. But it's that dude who just like, yo, nothing authentic comes out of your mouth. I don't want to hear this, you know, go away. So yeah, that's my thoughts. We could go deeper into it, but.
Oh, we could, but we only have 2 minutes.
got 2 minutes left. Really quick, you know, as we're kind of following up, again, want to get into some Texas baseball later in the week, so we'll have some guests for Texas baseball on. Definitely going to dive deeper into Texas transfer portal. Going to have old member of Horns 24/7, Keenan Miss Taylor Estes. She's going
to nice, dude.
Taylor's going to hop on and talk all things UT. You haven't heard from her a bit, so I want to give her, someone who took, quote-unquote, took her platform at Horns 24/7, the podcast, want to give her some room. Also hoping to have my homeboy Mike Hart. AM 1300, Harge Knox Live.
Love Mr. Mike.
Want to have Harge on to talk all things UT. So we got a fun week planned. Keenan, really quick, before we get out of here, I did want to give you some room to talk about just Texas basketball. Mainly, you know, now that kind of the dust has settled from some of their the additions and kind of with the transfer portal closing, what are your thoughts? Like where this roster sits right now, again, like the portal is official, the window's officially closed. Obviously they, you know how these windows work, right? You know, someone could pop up and land, but just as things sit here right now, what are kind of your feelings?
They don't have a big, they don't have enough bigs. They have like two bigs right now. You need like four or five to be an effective team. I don't know where they're going to go. Seems like most of the good bigs are already gone. JT Toppin, I think, is going to go to North Carolina or go to the NBA. I think Okorakor is going to go to an SEC school that isn't like, I think they're going to, when I say an SEC school, I meant like Auburn, Alabama type deal. Because he plays for Samford, which is in Georgia. This is just pure projection. But, you know, a lot of those guys, when they switch back to their old school as well, or when they transfer to another school, they'll go to one kind of around where they're from or where the school they play at. So he's, I forget where he's from, but he's playing in Samford, Okorakor. So if that guy, I mean, if you're a UT, and again, UT doesn't set the market for players. We know that.
Right.
But if you could somehow get that dude to commit, your problems are solved, man. Get one of those two guys. They could get Toppin or they could get Okorakor. They'd be money. Unfortunately, I don't see either of those happening, but I mean, we'll see. JT Toppin, he goes by both. So he's a freaking stud. I mean, he's like a first round pick to me. I don't know if he will be or if he'll even go pro, but we'll see. He's an early entry guy, but he also maintained his college eligibility. Yeah. So we'll see with him where he ends up. But yeah, they need to figure out the big thing soon, ASAP, so people stop panicking. But, man, I really love the backcourt. Backcourt's awesome.
No doubt. Want to go ahead and bring in Zay Collier. I'd be remiss while I've got Zay on the line if I didn't ask him his thoughts. Zay, so I don't know if you heard us. I don't know if you heard us as we kind of let in. We talked a little bit about Drake Kendrick, and we kind of analogized it to our favorite college football beefs. But if you have a favorite college sports beef, let us know. Mine was how my hatred for the mid-2000s Gators, the Tim Tebow era Gators, in which I hated those teams. But your thoughts, man. Drake Kendrick, as we're sitting here, you know, chopping and bleeding to Chip and Zay.
Yeah, man. It's pretty wild. Again, I'm all about my rap beefs, Keenan, Eric. I want people to survive. Like, let's keep it safe. Obviously, Biggie and Tupac. That was very tragic, East Coast, West Coast. But a little Nas and Hove, I thought until this rap beef, that was the greatest rap beef of all time. I don't think I can say that anymore. Like, K-Dot and Drizzy are going at each other's necks to where it's so personal and it's so dark. And my dark ass loves it too. So, hey, I keep on making diss tracks. I could care less, you know, like, hey, this is what hip hop's all about. As far as my college beef,
yeah,
I can't stand the Sooners.
Oklahoma, okay.
Oklahoma, yeah, it's tough. I respect certain Sooners, certain guys like Baker Mayfield. He's an Austin Knight, so there's a little bit of love for Baker, just a tad bit. But
damn, that's a hot take, bro.
Just a tad. It's not much. It's not much. He's from the ATX. Like we bond in that way. But you know, I can't stand them. A&M, they're fine to me because we beat them all the time. It's always been just tragic. But you know, Oklahoma's always won, and that shit pisses me off.
You know what's funny is, and I will shout out Jake Bayless, said Christian Laettner versus everyone. Our guy CB says I hate Tebow. Someone who I hate is, we're bringing in Chip here, Chip, to bring up the speed. We closed our show by talking about the Kendrick Lamar, Drake beef, but also talking about our favorite college sports beef. And I did say that mine was I couldn't stand the mid-2000s Florida Gators teams. But to bring one to, like, this region, I actually hated Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M. Like, every time he flashed the money Manziel, I was like, I hated it. Chip, I will not ask you as a noted, esteemed journalist for such a long time, I will not ask you to divulge your favorite college sports beef, unless you have one from back in the day, pre-working, that you just like a team that you couldn't stand. Like, was it the Christian Laettner one? Like, what you got, CB?
I love the beef between Charles Woodson and David Boston.
Woodson was
at Michigan and David Boston was at Ohio State. They were trying to rip each other's heads off, literally. And that was some good stuff.
Yeah, they swung on each other, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Like Cortland Finnegan and Andre Johnson.
That's what I was gonna say. Wasn't quite Cortland Finnegan, Andre Johnson, but I do remember that. But Chip, Zay, it is all y'all's.
Peace out. Have a great show, fellas.
Appreciate you.
Good one, guys.
Appreciate y'all.
Peace out.
Good job.